Well, good morning, everybody. It's a joy for me to be here with you today and to be able to open God's Word together as a church family. What I want to do is open our time together this morning by wishing all of you a very happy New Year. 2020 is over. I feel like you need to say that at your homes right now. 2020 is over, and we're looking forward to 2021 with a great deal of anticipation. Let's be honest with ourselves and with one another that 2020 was a challenging year. 2020 was a difficult year. The words global pandemic are going to forever be etched on our minds. New words like social distancing, masks, contact tracing, quarantines, the CERB and Dr. Bonnie are now a part of our vocabulary. Millions of people around the world have been affected by this pandemic. Far too many have lost their jobs. Far too many have lost their health. And sadly, far too many have even lost their lives. One of the things that we saw in the midst of this pandemic was many organizations figuring out how to pivot and innovate. We saw creativity take over. Our church has done an amazing job figuring out how to transition from worshiping here together in this amazing facility to being online together like we are this morning. But in the midst of that, people were still cared for and communicated with, and we worked hard to connect with one another. This pandemic was something that none of us saw coming, and yet here we are. I don't know about you, but Diane and I, in the midst of this, got in the habit of saying to one another that we felt blessed. We were healthy and we were employed. And by virtue of those two things, we were doing so much better than so many others around about us. And this idea of being blessed has stuck with me throughout this pandemic. And for most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we are truly blessed. We live in this amazing country. We have freedom. We have safety. We have clean drinking water. We have access to food, good jobs, healthcare, education. And if you're a part of the family of God, you have access to Jesus Christ himself. But we also saw throughout 2020 that many people don't feel like they have the same access to the blessings that we enjoy here in Canada. And Pastor Jonathan did a great job earlier this fall talking about God's heart for social justice. So I'd encourage you to look that message up if you haven't had a chance to hear it. But for most of us that are watching this morning, the blessings we enjoy really started to stick out for us. And for many of us, we probably started to embrace them and hold them closer than we ever have before. And we may have even set aside some of the things that we no longer deemed to be as important. And one of the things as we were going through the pandemic earlier this fall, Pastor Jonathan preached an amazing series on the life of Abraham. And one of the things that stuck out to me during that sermon series came from Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2, which we're going to look at in just a moment. But God blessed Abraham. And as I pondered why God was blessing Abraham, I asked myself the question, why was God going to bless Abraham? Why was God going to make him a great nation? And I haven't been able to shake those questions in the months that have followed. And so now this morning, as we get ready to look into 2021, as we talk about what God might do in 2021, I want us to spend a little bit of time together looking at what it means to be a blessing. So if you've got your Bibles, I want you to open them up to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. I'm going to be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. It says this, "I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." It's that last part of that verse that answers the question why. Why was God going to bless Abraham? He was going to bless Abraham so that he could be a blessing. Now, if you listen to Pastor Jonathan's sermon series throughout the fall, then you understand so many more things now about the life of Abraham. So I'm not going to repeat those here. But I wonder, what does it actually mean for us to be a blessing? If you're like me, you probably pray or think often, Lord, I pray that you would make me a blessing to the people that are around about me. As Christians, we want to be salt and light to the world. But I never actually stopped and thought about what it meant to truly be a blessing. The word translated blessing here appears 67 times in the Old Testament. It's a derivative of the word bless that also appears in this verse. It means a benefit, a favor, a gift, or a present. In essence, God is saying to Abraham and ultimately to us that I am going to bless you so that you can be a benefit, a favor, a gift to those around about you. I had never thought about it that way before. God is blessing us. He blesses all of us so that we can be a gift to the people around about us. The question I asked myself as I started studying is if somebody were to ask Diane right now, if somebody were to ask my colleagues at work, my friends, people that I know, am I a blessing to them? Am I a gift to them? But that's what God is calling us to. He's calling us to be a blessing, a gift to the people around about us. Now, we know from biblical interpretation that God's promises to Abraham are God's promises to Abraham. But we also know that God has blessed us with everything through the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. And because of that, we are called to be a blessing to those around about us. Especially in the middle of a global pandemic, our church family, our workplaces, our neighborhood, our community, our province, our world need the people of God to be a blessing, to be a gift to those around them. So this morning, as we enter into 2021 together as a church family, I want us to look at three things, three simple ways that I think we can be a blessing to the people around us, whether they're here in our church, our workplaces, or the community at large. We're going to look at three things: our faith, our finances, and our family. Our faith, our finances, and our family. Now, you'll forgive the kitschy alliteration that I'm using, but I wanted to make this as simple for all of us to understand and think about as we move into 2021 and all of its promise. If you still have your Bibles open, flip them over to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says this, "For by grace you have been saved, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift," there's that word again, "it is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." Now, I've always loved that passage of Scripture because it reminds us so beautifully that we are blessed by God. We have been saved by grace through faith, and it is a gift of God. But here's the thing, this gift, this blessing that God has given us has a purpose. And its purpose is so that we in turn can be a gift to those around about us. We have been created, we have been saved for good works, which are to be our way of life. I love that phraseology. It's our supposed to be our way of life. The book of James, chapter 2 and verse 18 takes it a step further. James actually says, "I, by my works, will show you my faith." Living out the faith that we have because of what Christ has done for us is so important to James that he says he will show you his faith by the things that he does. And so as we look to 2021, as we understand the blessing that we have, the gift of God that we have in Jesus Christ, are we living it out by the things that we do? How are we serving the people around about us? That is supposed to be our way of life as believers in Jesus. The next thing I want us to look at is this area of finances. But what I want us to do first is I want us to look at some foundational concepts. First, Psalm chapter 50. Psalm 50 reminds us that everything on this earth belongs to God. Second, James chapter 1 reminds us that every good and perfect gift, there's that word again, every good and perfect gift is coming down from the Father of heavenly light. And third, Exodus chapter 35 reminds us that God requests and requires us to give back to him willingly, not because we have to, but because we want to. And finally, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 reminds us that God loves a cheerful giver, someone who gives because they're grateful. Now, why did I set that little foundational stage for us this morning? Because a proper understanding of what it means to be a blessing always requires us to understand that we have been blessed. Let me repeat that for you. A proper understanding of what it means to be a blessing always requires us to understand that we have been blessed. You see, the problem that we run into is that if we think that something is ours, that we earned it, or that we are owed it, we are far less likely to see it as a blessing that we can in turn bless others with. So look practically at your finances. If you have been around Ridge Church for any length of time, you've probably heard me talk about this before. If we think that we've earned it, if we think that we're due anything in this life, or that God had no part in us earning our paychecks or creating wealth or saving money or anything like that, we will likely never see our finances as something that we can use to bless other people. Now, I'm not meaning to imply that any of us don't work hard to earn our paychecks, but do we understand that God has blessed us with the ability to earn our paycheck? He's given us life and health and breath and strength that enable us to go to work every day and work hard and bring glory to his name in the workplace. I also don't mean to imply that people that don't know Jesus can be generous. They can, but there's a difference between secular philanthropy and God-honoring whole life biblical stewardship. We need to embrace the idea that God has given us everything through his Son, Jesus Christ, including our ability to earn a living. And we can in turn then use those finances to bless those around us. And the last thing I want us to look at this morning is this idea of family. We often hear it said that we are all a part of the family of God. In fact, I've said it already this morning. But oftentimes, many of us don't actually know what that means. Perhaps our own family background is troubled, and so the idea of being part of a family of God isn't necessarily a positive thing for us. Or perhaps we've seen too much conflict in the church that seems to be an open conflict with this idea of love and peace and harmony that we know that Scripture teaches. Well, let me set a foundational stage for us again. Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul reminds us that we are in fact the children of God and we're co-heirs with Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul reminds us that God destined us for adoption into the family of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And then throughout the Pauline epistles, he refers to his fellow believers in Jesus Christ as brothers and sisters. We are to see one another as family. Now again, I know that many of us have troubled relationships with our families. But despite the failings of our own families, in God's economy, the family is the foundational element of society and it is designed for good. I am convinced that is why we see so many open attacks on the family today. And so too, at the same time, the church as a family is designed for good. And we as members of that family are called to bless one another as we have been blessed. We're called to set aside our own rights in order to serve one another. Colossians chapter 3 reminds us that we are to bear with one another, forgive one another, and to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us that when we have suffered and God has sustained us in the midst of that suffering, we are in turn to take the consolation that we have received from God and use it to bless others who happen to be going through their own period of difficulty and suffering. Oftentimes, we have no idea why God has allowed suffering into our lives, but oftentimes, after the fact, we understand that God uses those experiences to enable us to bless others, to be a gift to others who are walking through what Psalm 23 calls the valley of the shadow of death. It may not feel like it at the time, but God sustains us through our long dark night with the gift of his presence so that we can walk alongside others who are going through their own long dark night. 1 John chapter 3, we're reminded that God loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us, and we are in turn expected to love those around us. And love them so much that we are ready to lay down our lives for them. Now, we don't talk much about things like that anymore these days, but what a gift it is to know, what a blessing it is for us to understand that our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ love us so much, love us so deeply that they would lay down their lives for us. And wouldn't that change the way that the world views the church and Christians, if they knew that we loved one another so deeply that we would lay down our lives for one another? And finally, in Galatians chapter 6, we are reminded that we are never to grow weary of doing what is right. We are constantly to work for the good of all, but especially those that are in the family of faith. Have you ever noticed that little phrase before? The family of faith. When it comes to doing good works, when it comes to being a blessing to other people, our first priority as believers in Jesus Christ is to be a blessing to others in the family of faith, be a blessing to those who are members and a part of Ridge Church. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't have an outward focus. We should. It's right and it's good. But it does mean that our primary focus in doing good, in being a blessing, a gift to other people, should be right here at Ridge Church. So how are you being a blessing right now to Ridge Church? Maybe you teach in Ridge Kids. Maybe you lead a community group. Maybe you give generously. Maybe you serve on the board. Maybe you serve as an usher. Maybe you're on the missions team. Or maybe you're one of the people that is involved with the office who volunteers to simply phone people to let them know that somebody is there, that somebody cares for them, is praying for them, is thinking about them in the midst of this pandemic. There's no shortage of the ways that we, as the members of Ridge Church, can figure out how to love and care for those around about us with the blessings that we ourselves have received from God. Perhaps it's through our faith as we do the good works that have been prepared for us to do. Or maybe it's through the use of our finances to bless others around us. Or maybe it's because we're simply part of the family of God and we understand that we are called to bless our brothers and sisters and then the broader world around us. We know that 2020 has been a very difficult year. It's been worse for others than it has for some other folks, but it's taken a toll on everybody. As a result, there are so many people in the life of our church, so many people in the life of our community that need someone to be a blessing to them. It might just be a kind word. It might be a helping hand. It might be money. It might be time. It might be a listening ear. To be honest, I actually don't know what it might be, but what I do know is that God has blessed each of us so richly, and he is calling us to bless others, to be a gift to others. And so my request of you this morning is that you, as you and your family go into 2021, take time to ponder the blessings that God has poured out on you and your family. But then take it a step further to think through what you could do to be a blessing to those around about you. We've talked about three simple things this morning: our faith, our finances, and our family. But there are so many other things that we could look at as individuals. And so my challenge to you this morning as we start 2020, what can you do to be a blessing to somebody around about you? What can you do to be a gift to somebody around you? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the gift of your Son. We thank you for the gifts, the blessings that you bestow on all of us so richly. And Father, as we begin this new year, 2021, filled with so much anticipation, so much excitement after the difficulties of 2020, Lord, I pray that you would equip and prepare all of us for the good works that you have in store for us this year. That we would know and understand what you want of us, to be a blessing to the people around about us, to live out our faith in practical ways, to share of the financial bounty that you have given to us, and to invite people in to be a part of the family of God. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your love, your provision, and everything that we have and everything that we enjoy. Strengthen, encourage, and equip each of us for the year ahead. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, as we start the new year, one of the things that we want to do is we want to celebrate the blessings that we have being a part of the family of God. And so this morning, we're going to celebrate communion together as a church family. We're going to remember Christ's sacrifice for us on Calvary's cross. So I'm going to invite Pastor Seth, and he is going to come and lead us in communion.